God knew that if a person would not listen to their parents, they would destroy society.
Welcome to the pulpit ministry of the Launce Baptist Church. Hi, this is Jerry Bishop, and I want to thank you for listening today. Here at Launce Baptist, we believe in proclaiming the glory of God, the wonderful good news of the gospel, the lordship of Christ, and the authority of Scripture over our lives. May the Lord bless you, and may you grow in the knowledge of Him today as you listen.
We come today to the transitional commandment, where we find that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. And I would like to read from verse 1 of Deuteronomy 5, and then we'll get down to our text, and then we'll stop for this morning and pray, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us. I guess I noticed today that most of you who are here at one point in your lives did have a father and a mother. So this applies to you. I hope that's helpful for you to remember. This is not just for the kids in any sense. Where we are in Deuteronomy is after 40 years of wandering, Moses has led the children of Israel through the wilderness. The older parents have died. The second generation is standing before the Lord, and Moses preaches to them again the message that God gave him some 38 or 39 years earlier. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make a covenant with our fathers, but with us who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the words of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up to the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them to serve them, nor shall you bow down to them to serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you should do your labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commands you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." And with that, I would like to pray and seek God's blessing and His face this morning. Father, we need you so much. As we have sung already, we have exalted you. We have exalted the name of your Son. And we need your power and your strength today. We need your presence and we long for it. We don't just want to hear a lecture or a sermon or someone condemning us or teaching us. We want to hear from you. And we know that we will. And so we pray that each of our hearts would be receptive to receive your words and that you would work. I pray that even this commandment would be revolutionary for us as we understand anew and again and are reminded and are challenged beyond what we knew to think differently about the role of parents, of fathers and mothers. We thank you for these things, and we plead the blood of Jesus, and we ask it in his name. Amen. Perhaps you have heard the story of George Washington when he was ready to begin a career. I asked the senior high class what careers they might possibly want to choose. It was interesting just to talk through those things this morning. George Washington decided to choose a career that would involve sailing and shipping cargo over the seas. It was against the wishes of his parents, and George Washington didn't necessarily know what to do. He was a good individual, raised well. He was of good stock, I guess you could call it. And the day came when the individuals came to the door to take his baggage and to carry it off so that he could go away. As he was putting his things in the carriage, as he came back in and he observed them picking up the luggage, his things, he looked at his mother. And his mother was crying. And when he looked out the door and he saw the carriage and he saw his mother crying, he went back out and he got the luggage out of the carriage and told the men he would not be going because he could not go and do that thing which would break his mother's heart. Consider how different our country might have been had God not worked through the tears of a mother in directing a young man by the name of George Washington. I was thinking about that personally this week. How has the Lord directed my life in terms of my parents? And I thought of an example that might be helpful for you. When I was about 19, I had left home and had gone to Detroit. I was living with some relatives, and I managed to wiggle my way into a factory. I bugged the manager every day who was hiring individuals. And sooner or later, he hired me. And so I worked. I ran a gun drill, and we made ball screws, if you know what those are. They would go into various kinds of lathes and whatever. And I was enjoying the career. It was going well. I was well paid, a lot better than I ever was paid on the farm. Had more freedom. And then I heard that my older brother, who was here last Sunday, was going to leave the family business and go into a ministry. And this sense of responsibility for once came over my life, I suppose. And I quit my job and I went back home to live with my parents to take the place of my brother. And I was thinking all of these years, was that cowardice? Was that just, you know, was that a wrong thing to do or a right thing to do? And it occurred to me just this week even that not too long after I returned home, I started attending a church where the Lord began to work in my life to consider the ministry. And I gave my heart and my future to the Lord, and he called me to the best of my understanding. And that was the beginning of that long career of a college and seminary and ministry. What would have happened if I would have been the best gun drill operator today? You know, completely different future, but God used my obligation or my responsibility or my love for my parents to direct me in the future. That's what this command is all about. This command is not written to children. Okay, that's the first thing we think about. Oh, I want to get all my kids here so they can hear the one command that says, honor your father and mother. Moses isn't talking to a bunch of kids here on the mountain. He's talking to adults. And he says, as adults, at whatever stage in life you find yourselves, maybe young, middle age, elderly, maybe in the golden years of your life, if you want to have wisdom, if you want to have God's blessing on your life, then you are called upon to continually and continually and all of the time, I guess, honor your father and mother. They don't have to be alive for you to honor them. And so we have that calling this morning. It's written to adults. And the second thing that's really interesting, just as a giveaway this morning, is did you notice to whom we are to show our honor? It is fathers and mothers. If you could go back with me in time to where we are 1445 B.C. This is, what, 3,500 years ago? We talk about the Bible, sometimes people do, as being sexist and only giving men honor. But did you notice what God said in the Ten Commandments? Father and mother equally deserve honor. And I have experienced, and you have experienced, and probably we have engaged in this, giving honor to one and not giving honor to the other. But the honor is demanded equally between the father and the mother. The third thing that is interesting is if you could imagine that there are two giant tablets here, tablet number one and then tablet number two over here. Remember, God wrote with his finger and he says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." Then he wrote the second one. He says, "You shall not make unto yourself any graven images." And then he wrote the third one, which says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Let me review those for you. No other gods. Worship God with a true heart. Don't use any kind of worship aids in our worship of God. Wear God's name with honor. Do you remember that? If I take his name, I wear it with honor. Command number four is to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We don't keep the Sabbath law, we said, but we do keep the Sabbath principle, whereby in God's gracious command, we have a day we can devote to God and love him and worship him, do good deeds. Then number five is honor your father and mother. And we have to ask, does it belong in the tablet with the issues relating to God? Or does it belong on the tablet with the issues relating to our fellow man? Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't murder, what all those. And I want to suggest to you that it belongs in the tablet which describes our relationship with God. Because in a sense, how we treat our parents is how we treat God. And God works through our parents to mediate his will. And so this command, if you want to call it number five, is sort of the fulcrum. It is the mediating commandment between the vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with others. This command shows us how we honor God, not in our religious situations, but in every day of our lives. I want to suggest to you this morning that we honor God by honoring our parents. Now, this is a huge commandment for us for a couple of reasons. I believe that it does belong to the first table. Our vertical relationships with God are connected by our parents. But secondly, you will notice that this is the only command that God throws in an incentive. Sometimes in Awana and other kinds of activities, we give incentives to learn, don't we? It's fine. It's good. You know, if you say these verses, you win a prize. You'll be on the winning team. God says, if you will take a hold of this commandment to honor your father and mother, then you will be in the place where I will bless you. The incentive positively, God will bless those who honor their fathers and their mothers. That's why it's so important for us to remember that that still continues. It wasn't just when you were under their authority back at home. Even now, God will continue to direct your way, as we've already said, and bless you day by day as you choose to honor them. And let me give you a roadmap. We're going to talk about what it means. We're going to talk about why we should do it. And then thirdly, we're going to talk about how. So we're talking first about the what, and then the why, and then the how. On the other side of the coin, this is really significant. Why? I want to suggest to you that this command belongs in the vertical relationship side of our table is simply this. The punishment for disregarding your parents is very severe. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He who sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. So if you're a murderer, the Old Testament stipulates that you would die. What happens if you disregard your parents? You would think you would have to pay a fine, you know, have some kind of a punishment. He who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. You see the power in that? Why is it, if I hit a policeman, will I be put to death? No, of course not. He who curses his father and mother shall surely be put to death. You see, there's some kind of special authority that God has invested in the parent that relates to him. And when I treat my parent with contempt, the person that I'm treating with contempt is God Almighty. So there are many of these. Everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father and his mother, and his blood shall be upon his head. I've read from Exodus 21 and Leviticus chapter 20. Here's Deuteronomy chapter 27. Cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt. And all of the people say, Amen. Cursed is the one who treats his father and mother with contempt. And so God has placed in this section here, I would say, the signature of God, the special authentication, the authentication marker that this is the certified hand of God. These people are my representatives. Now, let me tell you, I'll ask this question, what does it mean to honor your father and mother? The word for honor that's used in both Exodus and in Deuteronomy is literally the word to be heavy. Kaved means heavy. And it's used in the Old Testament in this way. The person, and in the New Testament, the word doxa. We glorify a person, we honor them by extolling them. Here's what Paul said. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In Psalm 86, this word is used. He says, I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. As I am supposed to glorify God Almighty, in the very same way I am called upon to glorify my parents. And I wish they would have translated it that way. Instead of honor your father and mother, it would be completely accurate to say, glorify your father and your mother. That is the phrase that is being used. Let me define just a little further for you what it means to glorify a person. This word, kaved, which means to be heavy or to be significant, is often used with things that are heavy. And we have that in our colloquial terms today. Pardon me for my language there. We talk about something being awesome, something being significant, something being heavy. That was a phrase that was around about 30 years ago. That's what this word means. In Exodus chapter 9, it says this, Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause a very severe hail to rain down. That's the word. In Genesis chapter 47, it says this, Now there was no bread in the land of Israel because the famine was very severe. That's that word for heavy again. It talks about Abram in Genesis 13 that he was very heavy in riches, very severe, very strong. And then we get to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and it says this, Why do you kick against my sacrifices and mine offerings, which I have commanded in my dwellings, and you honor your sons, you make your sons heavy more than me? Now, none of us would think that's very flattering. If we called our mom and our dad, if they are living, said, I just want to tell you that I'm so glad that you're heavy. Wouldn't go over very well. But if we called them and told them how significant they were, that would be an awesome thing. And if you're here today and your parents are in glory or they've gone on, you know what a joy it would be to have that chance. And so those of us who are younger, we should take that chance as much as we could. What should we do? We should honor our parents. We should exalt them. We should make them look good in all of these ways. We should make them look bigger than life through our responses, through our choices in life, through our behavior, through our words, through our use of our resources, and through all of our lives. That's what God has called you to do. And here is the reason why. The reason why God wants us to glorify our parents, to honor our parents, to make them seem huge and significant and important is this. Number one, parents are the primary channel through which God shows His loving care. Parents are it. They are the channel through which God loves His children. In Psalm 139, that great verse that you know, it says this, For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully woven or wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they are all written, the days planned or fashioned for me. Where do we come from? Well, the scientists could say we come from a mother and father who come together and have a relationship, and life is formed and a baby is born, and it takes 9 months for it to grow, and then it takes 9 months for the gestation process, and the baby is born and then it grows, and it's all just a scientific, mechanical, biological process. But the Bible teaches us that in every step of the journey, even though it appears like it's a man and a woman, it's God. So God is working through these parents, through mom and dad, to make sure that you have fingers and toes, and you have all of your healthy body. And sometimes because of the fact that we live in a broken world, it doesn't always work out the way, but we're told that it's still in God's plan. God works through all of those things. And so God mediates His love to you through a mom and dad who may know God and may hate Him, and yet He still loved you through them. That infant care that we receive when that tired mom gets up in the morning and she nurses that baby and she changes its diapers and she goes back to get bed, that is God working through a person to care for a helpless individual. That's Him showing His love. When parents protect their children and watch over them and give them direction, that is the hand of God working through that individual. In Psalm 145, here's what we're told. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. Now, that's not the way it happens in my house. My kids don't come home and look up to heaven and say, I'm hungry, God. What do they say? I'm hungry, Mom. Why isn't there anything in the refrigerator? And the door just swings open and shut, and you hear the cupboards banging. Kids look to their parents, and God blesses the children through their parents. That is the way of the world. That's why when God looks down and He sees a young person who doesn't show honor to this parent, God knows that mother carried that child and that father worked to provide for it. And every day they're bringing in food and nourishment years before the child gets old enough to talk back, to be disrespectful or disobedient. And the Lord says, you know what? That's me providing through those. Parents are the primary channel of God's loving care in your life. Secondly, parents are the primary channel of God's grace in your life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, do you know who it is who is commanded to teach the children? It isn't the church, it isn't the school, it isn't the uncles and aunts. Chapter 6 and verse 7, hear who is the person, the people who are to teach children. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house. So every time you take a bite of food, you see or you're reminded again of the commandments of God. Ever have like a speck of food on your nose or, you know, something up here? You just kind of catch it out of the corner of your eye and you can never forget it. That's what He's saying about frontlets between the eyes. What's this thing here in my head? Oh yeah, God made me, and we're commanded to love, honor, and obey God. And so we do it all of the time. Every time I go out of the house and every time I go in the house, I'm to teach my children. And so not only in the physical realm do parents mediate God's goodness, in the spiritual realm, parents mediate God's grace. Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like for you to go there for just a second. We have another example in Ephesians chapter 6 of Paul doing what we're doing. Okay? Do you remember what we said about the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments are like a little package, a little box. You take that box, you open it up, and as you open each side, as you turn it around like a diamond, you unfold it, and you realize that it has lots of things to say. Do you remember? Jesus does that in the Sermon on the Mount. He takes a command and he unfolds it and he unpacks it and he gives the implications. Here is Paul doing exactly the same thing in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. All of these truths that he gives to us are reflections on this command to glorify or to honor your father and mother. The first reflection that Paul gives to us, and it is an inspired reflection, is this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, you will notice that it doesn't say adults. And so I'm not going to say, and we should never tell people that when you are old, you are responsible to obey your mom and dad. You aren't. But you are responsible to honor them. And so children are specifically called upon to obey their parents, but they do it in the Lord. That means under His authority or with His umbrella. And so if a child is told to do something wrong, then they say what Peter said in Acts chapter 5. You decide, is it better to obey God or man? Very hard for a young person to determine that or decide that, but it's still the case. It is in the Lord. I am never called upon to be disobedient to God by obeying my parents. His authority ranks them all. Third thing he says, children should obey. It's in the Lord. It's by His authority because this is right. It's an obligation. It's the proper thing. It's a lovely thing. It is a beautiful thing. Now he's going to quote the scripture that he's using in his exposition. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We've already said that. That it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth, and you fathers. Now notice this. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. How does verse 4 connect with honor your father and your mother? Well, very obviously, very clearly, if children are to honor their parents, then the reciprocal relationship is this. Parents have a responsibility to use that authority, that place, humbly, carefully, respectfully, and do their part too. In other words, it's not all about telling children to obey and just telling parents you can go do whatever you want. He says if it's true that God speaks with His own authority for the children to obey their parents, then the implication for parents is you've got a responsibility to train and to teach. Now, what are we to do? And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't take advantage of your authority. But nurture them. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. In the command number 5, is the implication that parents are the nurturers of the souls of their children. Now we know that, don't we? If you look at all of the statistics, when do they come to know the Lord as their Savior? You know, if you're not a believer by the time you're 5 or 10 or 15, your odds drop down to like 5 or 6%. And they get worse and worse throughout your whole life. These are the years when children are come to know the Lord, are to come to know Him. And so the commandment teaches us as parents our responsibility to bring them up and bring them up wisely. Number one, let me review just for a second. Parents are the primary channel of God's loving care for all children all around the world. Number two, parents are the primary channel of God's grace based on Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 4. And then thirdly, what I've already hinted about is this. Parents are the primary channel of God's authority. Genesis chapter 1. God is talking with Himself, and He says these words, God the Father and God the Son are having their Trinitarian conference. What should we do? And He says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. Why is it that you have dominion over the animals? It's because of the intent and the creative purpose of God. Literally, and you'll remember this maybe, but it bears repeating. When He says, let us make man in our image, the other phrase should be translated as our likeness, as our representative. And so what He's saying about parents, or about Adam, first of all, I'm sorry, when God made Adam and God made Eve, He set them down and he says, here, you represent me to the rest of the world. And so that authority comes from God to the individual, and in the same way it comes from God to parents. Adam was in the likeness of God, and he was made as God's stand-in, as God's representative. Children do the same thing, as we've already said. It's in the Lord. That's where the authority is. And I want to point out something to you. I think this will be new for you, but it's very helpful. All authority that there is in the universe, all is an authority which came from God to the first family, Adam and Eve, to every other parent, then all authority goes out from them. Listen to this list here for just a second. When we tell our three-year-olds to listen to the babysitter, they do it because we are their parents. When we tell our children to listen to their Sunday school teacher when they are four, we tell them to do it because we are their parents. When they are five and six and seven and we send them off to school and we tell them to be good in school, they do it because they're listening to their parents. When they are 10 years old and they join Little League or they play basketball and we tell them to listen to their coaches, they do it because we are their parents, or they should do it because we are their parents and we have an authority over their lives. And if they disregard these representative authorities, teachers and coaches and individuals who are watching over them, babysitters, then they answer to us, right? If you get in trouble at school, this is the way it was for me. If I got five in school, I'd get five swats when I got home. And the five at home were always worse than the ones in school. I remember one time I got in trouble for something and I was really in bad trouble. And the guy wanted me to call home, the principal, and I could not remember my phone number. He was convinced I was lying, but I was so afraid, not of him, but of Dad. The dads are the backers-uppers. That's what I'm trying to say. When we are 16 and we send our children off to get a license, what do we tell them? Obey the traffic signs, and if the person with the blinking light stops you, listen to him and do what he says. And if they don't obey, then we deal with them. We take their licenses away or we discipline them. When they're 18 and we send them off to college, we say, go study hard and listen to the deans and listen to your teachers. And then after they are gone and they're out of our web of control, every other relationship flows out of the fact that we told them how to be mature. Behave yourself. Live as a mature individual. What is a mature individual? It's a person who knows how to do right without a person, following them with a club. It's like, I finally get it, Mom and Dad. I should do the right thing just because I should. And so every one of those connections flows out of the parents. That's why these verses right here are so significant. God knew that if a person would not listen to their parents, they would destroy society. That's why we have jails. Jails are constructed because people won't listen to their moms and dads, or they won't follow through on that honor. If a man has a stubborn son and a rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother should take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is a stubborn and rebellious son. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And then all of the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so that you shall put away evil from among you, and all of Israel will hear and fear. Deuteronomy 21, 18 and following. And so it's all connected to that. If we could get parents to discipline their kids and teach them to be mature and be guided by an internal responsibility for maturity rather than an external, we could empty our prisons. I mean, it's all about that one thing. And so when God comes along and he says, honor your father and your mother, this is the solution for society. This is a solution for every other problem that we have. So that's why it's so wonderful when the Lord says through the Proverbs, hear my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and only the only one in his sight, he taught me, and he said, "Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget." And so all of our lives, we are guided. I would view it like this. If you take a gun has a sight that's here in the front, and then it has a sight that is in the back. And you line the two up together, and as you line them perfectly and understand how they go, you shoot your bullet, and the projectile goes straight as your eyes have been. Parents and our grandparents come, and we look through their lives, and we listen to them, and then we are the projectile, and our lives will be straight if we have lined our lives up with the direction of our parents. We've given you the what. What are we supposed to do? Honor, glorify our parents. We have given you the reason why. And the last one is the one I really want you to understand. All authority. All other kinds of authority. Whether it be husbands and wives and slaves. I've got a long list here. Servants, he says, be obedient to your parents. Pastors in Hebrews chapter 13. All of it is this. And whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So when I listen to my boss, it's because of that authority chain that goes all the way back to the beginning and is connected with him. Now, let's talk about how we do it, because we don't want to run out of time. If it's so important that God has mediated his rule in this world in a greatest sense through children, how do we do it? Number one, obedience when you are young. Remember, this is not about the kids, but that's one implication. I can honor my parents by obeying them with a happy heart when I'm a younger person. Secondly, I can honor my parents by giving love towards them always. Every person is commanded to show a kind of love towards their parents. And that means whether they deserve it or they don't. See, God didn't come along and love you because you deserved it, did he? But God commended his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that love is unconditional. In fact, here's what we're told in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have a high regard for good things in the sight of all. If it is possible, so much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. And so if you're in a situation and your parents, and this always happens in different places, your parents are not reciprocating love, do as much as you can. You can't do everything. And as I've said in other times together, there's a difference between forgiveness and love. We can hold people accountable for doing wrong. If a parent has injured, and there are parents who do those kinds of things, we could still hold them accountable and say there are consequences for this, you know, and that and the other thing. But it doesn't mean I can't love them. I'm called on to love them, because if I can't do it for them, if I can't love my parents for my parents, I can at least love my parents for my children. And it will make a difference in their lives too. It will bring healing to you. It will bring healing to your children if you are able to love them as much as is possible. Third thing we are to do, obedience when young, love towards them always, respect in their presence. Every one of you shall revere, literally the word is fear, shall fear, revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. Here's that stamp. I am the Lord your God. That's where he puts that stamp on it, as he does often. Fourthly, we honor our parents by honoring them in the sight of others. And every one of us could tell stories about our parents that we would think humorous, but would not be right. So we should be very careful. If we tell a story about them, it ought to be one that in the end reflects on their good qualities that will protect us. Fifthly, I would say that by honoring our parents, we can offer aid to them when possible or when necessary. And I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew. This is where we see this come up, Matthew chapter 15. A great passage, Matthew 15, verses 1 through 11, where the Pharisees figured out a way to dishonor their parents. Jesus would give us some great directions here. 15:1 says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat their bread.' And he answered and he said unto them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother, and that he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death.' We've read both of those. But I say unto you, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God.'" Korban is the word there. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you: the people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Now here's about five things that I think we could draw from this text. First thing we could recognize is that support for parents is likely. It's something that we ought to consider. I was reading, as I was studying for this sermon, the author of the book, actually, his parents ran a nursing home. And that was their occupation. And they were believers, and so they offered as good of care as they could. He said, "My dad one time sat down and wrote to the families of the people who were there." And it was a church-run nursing home. So he says, we had the parents of pastors from all kinds of churches, you know, stuffed away in this nursing home. And none of them would come and see their kids. And the reason they wouldn't come and see them is because they were busy with the Lord's work. Does this text tell me anything about that? It does. Some people took their money. They said, "You know what? We'd like to give you some money, but we've given it to God." And in any relationship, we need to be very careful that we don't use God as an excuse to abuse our parents or our children or other relationships. God will never ask us to do anything that contradicts His revealed will. And so support is not easy, but it's commanded. Now, nursing homes may be the best thing for you. I'm not making any kinds of judgment about that. You know, the care that you can give versus the care that they can receive in another situation, that's fine. I think we're all good with that. That's not the problem. But some of us could enjoy a relationship with our parents as we take them home into our families and we serve them and we love them and we continue to show those things, that will be the kind of thing that our children will look back on and say, "That was awesome. That was wonderful. That changed my life." Secondly, we could learn from the text that to dishonor a parent, he says, is to disobey God. Thirdly, claiming to serve God while robbing your parents is certainly wrong. And here's one that's somewhat connected to that, but it doesn't relate to our sermon, and it is this. I believe this text teaches us that if you make an immoral vow, that an immoral vow should be broken. They made this vow, and this vow was wrong. Their parents had need. In the end, what a person should do is break the vow and do the right thing. There's an example in the Old Testament that would really play into that, but I'll leave that for your reflection for today. What have I said so far? I've said what we're to do. I've said why we're to do it. And now I'm trying to tell you how to do it. Obedience and love and respect and honor and support when it's appropriate, and living wisely before others. And I'd like for you to go with me to Proverbs 22. This is a huge text for our ability to live right. We won't go real long today, so don't worry. We're in the final throes. So keep focusing here on the last couple of things that we have to say. Proverbs 22. I'm sorry, Proverbs 23. 23:22, it says this: "Listen to your father who begat you." Now stop right there. Solomon is doing exactly what Paul the Apostle did. Paul preached a sermon based on the Old Testament. Solomon is doing the very same thing in Proverbs. "Listen to your father who begat you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it, and wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Make your mom and dad happy. I just love translating verse 25 this way. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. And so he gives us the ability here. Choose truth and wisdom, instruction, understanding, and righteousness. And if my life is filled with those, truth, wisdom, instruction, understanding and righteousness, then I will make my mom and dad glad. And why wouldn't I want to do it? The last how I'm going to give you is this. We can honor our parents by sharing their grandchildren with them. Children's children are a crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Start from the father's side. The glory of children is their father. You look up, dad's the strongest, he's the fastest, he's the greatest, and then they grow up and you know, they realize that things are necessarily different than that. But on the other side of the verse it says, when you take those grandkids and you put them on the laps or in the arms or by the bedside of grandpa and grandma, that becomes a crown on their head. And we have that privilege. And they belong to them as much as they belong to us. And so sharing our children with our parents, their grandkids, is one of the ways that we honor them and salute them and show them what they're doing. And I think the implication with the grandchildren is this. I honor my parents by raising my children as I should. Did it work? You know, you scratch your head. Did we do a good job with, you know, little Joey or Billy? And then you watch him grow up and see how he raises his kids, and then you know if you did a good job, if he does the same thing. All right. The what and the why and the how. And I've got just three implications. So let's finish these up, and then we will be done for this morning of this great command, this central command between the two tablets, and it is this. Implication number one of the three is this. God intends to direct you. God intends to direct you. God intends to direct you throughout your life with this command to honor your parents. Want to know what to do? What job to take? All these things? Use this as one of the things, one of the guides. Hold up those two sights. Look forward and you will see which way to go. What would honor my parents? What would bring them great joy? What would reflect well on them? What would make people look at me and say, well, you know, he didn't do much, but he raised a pretty good kid. You know, at least he raised someone with a little bit of common sense. Those should be the choices that I should make that should honor them. Implication number two. What about parents who don't deserve honor? There are parents who don't deserve honor. Well, do what you can for the honor of God, at least. Show some respect, because remember, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all unto the Lord. I'm honoring God when I honor His representatives. Because here's what the Lord said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You see how that's connected with this idea here? That the Lord works through parents, but if parents don't do their job, then the Lord Himself comes underneath and girds the person. If you can't do it for your parents, then do it for your children. And I would say this about this one, about parents who don't deserve it. There's always something that you can honor them for. You have life. Remember those 6 years before you were old enough to understand who your parents were? They fed you. You know, they watched over you. They protected you. And in one sense, what are we all doing? We're doing our best. None of us is perfect, and so I could give them that same grace, you know, that I hope my kids will give me. I'm not perfect. And so there's always something for which to honor them, whatever little it may be. But lastly, here's implication number three, and it is our concluding implication. It is this. Let this command, the command to honor your father and your mother, search your heart. This is really important. This is our final admonition for this day, and it's clear. It reveals something about me. When I think back in my life, and I remember how much love I was shown before I could show any in return, or when I remember how upset I was at the decisions that my parents made for me, or how they determined that they should parent me, now fully understanding that these restrictions were just simply expressions of love, involvement, and courage. When I think of a brief time in my life, and I'm talking here, I'm not reading from another person, this is just me, a brief time in my life when I was ashamed of my parents or their car or the way they dressed, and there's most kids go through that at some point. You know, well, I don't know why that is. It breaks my heart. When I think about how I drove my car when I was a teenager at times, or the music I listened to as a teen, or the struggles that I had to accept their wisdom and their guidelines for my life, at that point, here's what I learn. I learn how far I fall short of the glory of God. See, this is back to the issue of salvation. The Ten Commandments, we are not bound to them, we are not underneath them, but they give us wisdom. And this command teaches me how much I need the grace of God in my life. Because I'm not a terrible crook, you know. I haven't done all the big ones, of course. But why did he have to put this one first on the list? Because here are the things that I find about myself. It is here that I learn how far short I fall from the glory of God, and I see how much grace God has given to me through the lives of my parents, and I see how much grace I needed in Christ. In all of these ways, disrespect and dishonor and just fighting with the authority of my parents, in all of those ways it tells me I am a sinner. Even on the inside, I am rebellious. I'm rebelling against the authority of God. And it makes me see from God's perspective how much I love my parents and how much I love my Christ. That's why it is so important for us to honor our father and mother, because by honoring them, I honor God, and I use that command as simple as it is to show me in very simple terms I have failed and I need salvation. If you're here today and you would say, well, I've never done any of the big sins, and yet you'll have to admit with me, won't you, that we have all failed to obey our parents and honor them as we should. Even in that regard, I would be a sinner worthy of hell were it not for the grace of God. And what I need, what you need, each one, is to trust Jesus, because even here we fall short of God's glorious standard for our lives. Would you pray with me, and we'll wrap up our service after our prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you for your goodness to us and our parents. And I pray that as the years go by, as the memories come across our hearts and our minds, that they would become sweeter as we erase perhaps the failures, the things that we could remember that we considered unjust, and realize that in a greater, in a godly way, that you were working through an imperfect couple to raise imperfect little kids, to not only live and to be nurtured and cared for and receive life, but that they could know you as their Lord and Savior. And even here I learn about the corruption of my heart and my need for salvation. We just thank you for moms and dads. And today we honor our parents as we stand here and we listen to you challenge us all over again. May these words direct our lives. And Lord, if there's one here who has never trusted Jesus, I pray that today they will see that even in the hidden recesses of the hearts, our hearts, there are those things which make us unworthy for glory in heaven. Help us, Lord, to run to the cross of Jesus for that salvation. I ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.